Pastor did the recap, and I was going to do a recap, but he thoroughly did that recap. But I'm going to do a little bit of it because it really segues. It just shows you, again, how when God gave me this word, it was sort of like an order. And when Pastor talked a couple weeks ago about strengths and weaknesses, and then he led into what sin can do to you and how to deal with sin. And I said, Lord, well, what do you have? What can follow those two topics? Because truly sin can destroy us. Our weaknesses can destroy us. And that's what Satan's plan is for us. Kill, steal, and destroy. And so, you know, Pastor spoke on by walking in the light, confessing our sins. He will cleanse us from John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for those sins. And I said, Lord, okay, so what's next? That was my question. I posed that question last. Well, what's next, Lord? Because those were great, mighty teachings. And the Lord said, folks got a problem, though, Archie, when it comes to walking in their anointing. And at first I was like, they got a problem. I said, if after they confess their sins, they're walking in the light, and after they understand the power that they gain by dealing with their strengths and pruning those bad branches off, how could they have a problem walking in their anointing? Lord, what are you saying to me? And he had me to examine myself first. And that's when it got long. I said, oh, Lord, this is a lot. I get it. But how do I speak about this problem that a lot of us have? And so what God showed me was he has appointed each and every one of us with a special anointing. Well, you know, the devil don't want us to even understand and get a grip on what tap into that thing. Because then we start to really walk in our true purpose. Amen. So we confess, we strengthen ourselves, God give us power, and we got this one little problem left. Some people just in church their whole lives, but their anointing is kind of dead. Never understood that. Well, I had to start from the beginning because that's how God deals with me. Let me examine the history of the word anointing, God, because if I don't know that, how could I even begin to understand what you're showing me? And, oh, my God, it's just the anointing. The word itself has several meanings. It's not just one meaning. So I'm going to speak a little bit about that history. The word anoint has been a part of the English language only since 1302 AD. It says, historical records show human beings engaged in the act of either anointing or being anointed since the times of ancient Egypt. And the word to anoint derives from an old French, and I'm going to say the short version of it because I can't speak French, but oint is to anoint or to smear on. And Latin is inigra, to smear. So they were pretty much talking about the oil itself. Interesting enough, the title Christ is derived from the Hebrew Messiah, and it literally means covered in oil or anointed. I said, wow, that's powerful, Lord. I didn't know that. And then I said, well, what is this other definition of what I'm speaking on today? Is in scripture, anointing is distinguishable by a scripture with the Holy Ghost. And so what the Lord showed me was anointing could be either material or spiritual. And in the material, you know, common practice of the Jews, they anointed people from other nations all over the world. I come to find when I started reading that in Africa, in Australia, all over the world, people got anointed for different reasons. If you were a guest, your host might have anointed you with oil as a sign of respect. It was also for consecration and inauguration, when priests and prophets were all anointed into their offices. It was like, you got your new assignment, we're going to anoint you. And I said, well, Lord, I want to get to this Holy Ghost part because that's where I'm at right now, you know. But he had me to focus on some things so that I can really get a deep understanding of, you know, priests and prophets being anointed. And then I could apply it. And so the first scripture that he showed me was, you know, in Exodus 40 and 15. If you got a Bible. And with anointing being mentioned so many times, I think over 300 times in the Bible, it was so many scriptures. And the Lord had me to focus on a few. I said, there's so many, Lord. He had me to focus on a few that he felt that would really show not just me, but the church what the meaning of anointing is and why we need to understand this principle to walk in it. Exodus 40 and 15 says, and thou shalt anoint them and thou, as thou didst anoint their father, and they may minister unto me in the priest office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. So, and that's basically the consecration of Aaron and his sins, and you know, and they spoke more on it, but I said, okay, Lord, I'm getting the understanding now how this moved into a spiritual realm more so. In Numbers 3:3, they also spoke on that same anointing. And anointing was the principal and divinely appointed ceremony and inauguration of the Jewish kings. So if we were going to really officially move you into becoming a king or inaugurate you, which is basically, the definition is the beginning or introduction of a system, policy, or period. I said, wow, that's interesting. So we're going to make you a king. We indoctrinate you, like in when I was in college, a fraternity. We indoctrinate you. People got indoctrinated. They got inaugurated. I said, okay, Lord. And then they consecrated you, which is to declare you as sacred, formally to a religious or divine purpose. So until that happened, you really didn't have a purpose. Even if you thought you did, they had to inaugurate you and consecrate you. And in that ceremony, they would mention words like divine, which is basically to be excellent and delightful and like God. So all of these things were what the Jews did in order to prepare their kings for their new positions. I thought that was very interesting. So as I moved into the spiritual side of things, I said, Lord, let me get the spiritual side. Some things still came up that God wanted me to identify so that I could separate the two. And one was in the Old Testament, a deliverer is promised under the title of Messiah or anointed. Again, that word, Messiah and anointed. If you turn to Psalms 2:2, I'm going to read this scripture so that we will have a clear understanding of that statement. Psalms 2:2. And it says, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So there's a lot of heathen in the Old Testament that really wanted to come against those anointed people. They didn't want nobody to walk like God in excellence and in their calling, basically. And so God showed me the nature of his anointing, described to be spiritual with the Holy Ghost. And that started with Isaiah 61 and 1. And that's when Jesus started speaking. I said, now I'm liking this because I want to hear from what Jesus had to say. So if you turn to Isaiah 61 and 1, okay, moving out of what the Old Testament's version of anointing was in the biblical days. And the Lord told me today, he says, you're not going to really do a lot of preaching. He says, you're going to do a little teaching. Amen. Just to share that with you all. Because I always, hey, Lord, you whatever your will is. Amen. He said, No. You're going to do a little teaching. Praise God. Break it down. Talk about the history. People, you can't assume that people, even that have been in church for 30 years, know the definition or the history of anything. Amen. And that really applies to me because that's what I said, Lord, I want to start from the beginning to get understanding. Yes. Sort of like when I was growing up, you sitting in a classroom and the teacher's talking about the Pythagorean theory. Come on, man. And you like, what's that? Come on, man. I'm from the hood. I don't know that. You know, you have to start from the beginning to understand why, what, and when. So what happens, church? This is real easy for me. You begin to become ignorant of things. Yeah, and God on. Don't want us ignorant of nothing. He want a healthy saint. Amen. Look, when he sent us out there in those fields, he want a healthy saint. Amen. Healthy not just in the body, but healthy in the mind. Amen. And so he showed me, he said, just teach. That's all. That's all I need you to do today. So thank you, Lord, for that. So I was talking about Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach a good tidings unto the meek and hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Come on now. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is setting the stage. And two, it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. The Lord is setting the stage. This is what he showed me. Because he sent me straight to Luke 4 and 18 thereafter. And it really began to come together for me. Because when we study the word, we do, saints, have to ask God to guide us. Amen. I think that's why a lot of folks have a hard time studying the word. Because we leave God out of it. It's not like you studying for any old test to pass a grade in school. Amen. When you study the word, you have to start off by bringing God into the equation. And he took me all the way from the beginning to the ending of how that works. And in Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Hear that? Anointed me. That's why the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Because he has anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amen. To preach the acceptable year of our Lord. Well, that's why he anointed. Don't you think the devil is mad? Because the Lord anointed you to do some mighty great things. And if we could all accomplish that one thing that he anointed us to do, we wouldn't have crime. We wouldn't have broken homes. We would have no problems. So now the Lord started to show me, okay, that's why I had you to speak on this. Because, hey, let's face it. If the devil can accomplish this, we could talk till we blue. I already anointed you to do this thing, but if he can hinder it in any way, anyway, it's all in vain. If he can hinder it. And so, spiritual anointing with the Holy Ghost is conferred also upon Christians by God. 2 Corinthians 1 and 21, real quickly. I just love when the Lord put something together that, you know, we lack in knowledge and understanding, and he put this really well together for me. 2 Corinthians 1 and 21 says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. He confirms that word over and over again in the Bible. Anointing expresses the sanctifying influences of the Holy Spirit upon the Christians. And what is a Christian? We are priests and kings unto God. That's what we are. It's kind of funny because I'm working on this project up north at Living Word, and it was a lot of folks walking around when I first started saying, hey, priest, hey, king. I was like, hey, king, hey, priest. And the Lord gave me this. I just laughed. I said, wow, I am a priest. I am a king. Not that I didn't believe them, but when you can take it back to scripture and see what God says, hey, now I got a profound understanding of what they was really saying. That's powerful, isn't it, church? In John 2:27-21, I pulled out this part of that scripture. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you.
Come on now.
I said, Lord, you want me to teach, though. Now I want you to reconfirm. So that they're in the right position, in the right standing.
Amen.
Guide them to those words, through those scriptures, so that I can share with them. But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. That summed it up right there. It summed it up. I said, Lord, it ain't too much left.
Praise God.
But the Lord said, but there really is.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we got to talk about how to keep that anointing, get that anointing, keep it strong.
Yeah.
So we're going to focus on the spiritual anointing and your personal consecration or inauguration, which dedicated you for a divine purpose.
Amen.
Wow. So I said, Lord, okay, that's both sides. Yeah, it truly is, because now the Son is appointing us. It's no longer man appointing you. It's the Son, it's the Father that's appointing you. And so his Holy Spirit is so divine, you know, that he wants us to walk in this divine religious purpose. And if we can do that, he will fulfill all of our needs.
Amen.
All the time.
Yes.
We know his word does not come back void. He can't lie.
There you go.
So its purpose is to make us divine.
Amen. Come on now.
It works together. Make us excellent. Make us like God. That's the purpose of our anointing. I said, woo. Thank you for that, Lord. Now I'm getting this thing. It's the purpose to make us divine. Can anybody tell me who inaugurated Jesus Christ? That was one that I asked the Lord when I was studying this. Well, who inaugurated Jesus? He had me to turn to Mark 16 and 1. And I had to read it a whole bunch of times because that was, you know, Mary Magdalene. And I'm going to go to Mark 16 and 1 real quick because I studied this over and over again to make sure I understood what the Lord was showing me. 1689, 16. The Lord is so awesome. All we got to do is be hearers of the word and doers of the word. Where's that at? Lost my place here. 16 and 1. Oh, I'm in Matthew. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Yes. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. You are so awesome. Everybody know that Jesus is just awesome.
Hallelujah.
So this was Book of Mark, the resurrection. And it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Wow. I said, Jesus, you was anointed. Jesus was anointed. And that in the Bible is the only reference of where Jesus was anointed. So I call that the gospel. You ain't gonna see that all over. You can't misinterpret what they were doing. They were anointing him. And so the Lord showed me many people have a problem executing their anointing. I said, Lord, how though? You can have an anointing, but if you don't walk in it after God gives that spiritual anointing, it's like dead fruit. It's faith. It's like faith without work. That's dead. So wouldn't your anointing be dead just the same? And, you know, some are anointed to teach, preach, whatever it may be. But that thing will just lie dormant and dead, and you will never understand it if you don't do a few things that the Lord was sharing with me. Walking in it also entails mastering it by learning and sitting under a good shepherd and studying and reading and referencing God and prayer. But you still got to have some things that's going to work on your behalf. And I'm going to share this one principle that God said, I got one principle for you to share. I said, one? To get that walk right? He said, yep. He said, and when you speak on it, it's going to sound like something that most have heard, but it's going to be something that it's going to be renewed in them in a way that they will never, ever forget it again. Okay, Lord. And so this greatest principle, practice it. I think you'll find out where you are in your anointing. It's kind of like a self-evaluation. And, you know, it allowed the Lord to speak to you directly about your anointing. And you want to know what that word is, Pastor?
Amen.
Meditation.
Praise God.
And Lord said, that's a word that people use, but guess what? They don't really understand it, Archie. Don't they would do it more?
Praise the Lord.
He said the key is meditation.
Amen.
We find ourselves moving fast because we got jobs. We running around doing this, doing that. Kids, grandkids. When do we actually meditate? When you sleep in the bed at night, that's not meditating. I'm sorry. Lord said, check that one off the list. I asked him. I said, well, I had to self-evaluate myself. I said, Well, Lord, how long am I supposed to meditate? He said, there is no time. It depends on your purpose for the day. It could be, it could be 5 minutes or 5 hours. And if you haven't heard from me yet, that means what? You not through meditating. I said, Lord, that's some powerful stuff. So what we do, we put a time on our meditation or we just don't do it. Lord said, that's why I want you to speak on this. We all caught up. We're in the body of Christ, but we're still caught up in the world. Don't we would really, really, really spend more time listening to God.
Amen.
The Lord said, Archie, they ain't cutting their lunch break short.
Amen.
I said, whoa. He said, they reading books, but it ain't my word. They take the week out to read this book on fantasy or fiction when they could be using that time to meditate. He just started dropping all kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, Lord. I said, that's funny, but it's true.
Amen.
We'll find a whole bunch of stuff to do with our time. But that principle right there, saints, woo. So here's what the Lord showed me. As meditating is simply put, is sitting before the Lord. And he has some requirements. I knew this was real when he gave all of this to me because it just popped up. Boop, boop. I was like, whoa. The first one again, a measure of time. Length of time. And this is what I wrote because he said, remember, stay on task and teach it. Length of time, whether it's 5 minutes or an hour, will be determined by your purpose. Flip your Bibles to Psalm 62 and 5, and I will elaborate just a tad more on that. I got to get my... For some reason, my Bible's so big, I still haven't remembered all the pages that I should remember, but God's still working with me. Receive myself. Some people just flip right to what they want. Lord say, that ain't important right now. What's important is finding it. There you go. 62 and 5, I said, right? Okay, let me get there. I'm almost there. Okay. 62 and 5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. So why then would we not meditate?
Amen.
The word says here. My soul, wait thou only upon God.
Amen.
Well, how do your soul wait upon God if you don't meditate? You'll never experience that. Wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is for him.
Amen.
When we tell God we don't have time for him, we are really saying we don't have time for life, joy, peace, happiness,
now.
Prosperity.
Come on now.
Because he is the source of all those things.
Thank you.
Including our anointing.
Yes.
He anointed us.
Praise God.
How can we miss this?
Thank you, Lord.
I said, wow, God, meditation is powerful. You know, I used to look at meditation as, let's say you had a little quarrel with your spouse. Then I go meditate. That's called just cool off. But that's not what God is talking about.
Amen.
You know what I mean? That's not the type of meditation that he's talking about. And so the first one, again, for one of the requirements is a measure of time. You got to put that in there. And he showed me how important that was because, again, it's based on your purpose. So if you're about to lose your house and you only give the Lord 5 minutes to respond to you, something wrong with you. If your children on drugs and you ain't meditating and you give them 10 minutes, you shouldn't expect no change. Because if he says based on my purpose, well, if my children was having issues or whatever, then I'd say that might be a couple of full days of meditation. Because, hey, if you want to get it back, you got to give some. Much is given, much is required.
Amen.
Right? That's what the Lord showed me.
Amen.
And so then he says, the second one would be stillness. People really got a problem with this one, Archie, being still. I said, that does tie into a measure of time. Because if you are not cognizant of time, then you're sure not going to be still. You doing a lot of nothing all day long, every day, serving man. And Sunday is really your only day to do what? Well, no, you come to service, but then that is not meditating. Again, that's not, you still didn't get the meditation in. So stillness, it says to really meditate upon the Lord, stillness is the key element. And it says, you don't have to flip to this, but in Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
He's telling you, if you don't, so what is he really? If you don't be still, then you won't know that I'm God. Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
What does that really mean? So you can hear from me.
Yes.
You don't know me if you ain't still. Oh, Lord, you messing me up now. And I'm telling you, God had me to write this type, gave me all of this at 3 in the morning.
Praise God.
3 a.m. when most people was doing this. And it came down like a, oh my God, it was. And so, be still and know that I am God. We'll know God best when we not only set aside time for him, but we also learn to be still before him. When we become still before the Lord, the competing elements of life will slowly disappear. So if you feel like you don't have the time and you want to make time, start being still for the Lord, and he'll make those elements that affect your ability to be still just go away slowly. You'll wake up one day and it won't be like, well, I remember I used to get in the car in the morning and have to drop off little Ronnie and do this and pick up the grandkids and do all that. And now, that ain't happening. The mama and daddy's taking care of them. I can meditate. It's gone. The Lord will remove that so that you can be still and spend time with him. And all of these words to me were so simple because he followed stillness with silence. Woo, this was a good one. He says in Isaiah 30:15, in quiet and confident self shall be your strength.
Praise God.
In quiet.
Come on now.
And confidence. Not just in confidence. You got to be quiet. For some people, meditation is best described as a one-way conversation. Where you giving the Lord everything you want. And you ain't sat there in silence at no point. Lord showed me this. He said, so when you pray, Archie, when you pray, church, tell the church, after they've done it, don't just get up, say thank you, Jesus, and walk away. Stay in silence.
Praise God.
Wait on Lord, because he sure ain't going to respond to you once you get up and go and get in your car.
Amen.
That ain't how it worked with him. So that's where that measure of time come in. Allow him to influence the amount of time. So if you don't hear from him, whatever's going on, phone ringing, we got to be somewhere. No, we don't. Ain't nothing more important than me waiting to hear from the Lord. If you took the time to start the process, hear me say, please take the time to let God finish it for you. Thought it was all in vain.
Thank you, Lord.
It was all in vain. He shared that. I said, okay, I get it because I do that. I'll rush, get my prayer in like God is, a machine or something, and then I got to go. And that ain't, he's like, no, you could have a whole lot more, Archie. Once you start, I don't care. He says, and guess what? Somebody going to ring your bell. Somebody going to call your phone. Somebody going to say, meet me at this birthday party. No.
Amen.
He said, don't do it.
Praise God.
Stay right in your prayer closet. And wait on me.
Amen.
In silence. If we quiet ourselves before him, God will interject his thoughts into our thinking.
Amen.
Did anybody know to have God to speak to your heart is a majestic feeling? I've had that experience. And then when I didn't get it no more, I got a little upset. But I didn't know what was happening, and God just showed me what was happening. I wasn't waiting on him in silence. The fourth one that the Lord showed me was self-control. I think, again, the Lord, you pointed some things out. I had to really examine myself. As we begin to meditate, we may have to labor mentally a bit to focus all of our attention to God. A mental labor. Because all those different influences around you. If this is an issue, you can turn to Psalms 1 and 2. And since I'm already still in Psalms, I'm going to back it up. Because I think this was 1 and 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay, so now I understand, Lord, why I need to just stay. No matter what's going on, so I'm missing money. Oh, that ain't important. I miss a party. That ain't important. You know, I think I'm going to miss summer. You know, I had that problem. Summer short, I'm going to miss it. I got to do everything I can do. No, I don't. If I start meditating, wait on the Lord. Because guess what? It says, in the law doth he meditate day and night. That's in the word. So why can't I do that? If I want to be like God, and it started off with being divine is being like God. You know? And the end result is great when you can do these things. And the Lord shared something with me. I said, okay, Lord, I got a self-control problem. I confess. How do I handle that? He sent me this, and he says, this is what I need to say. He said, now, you don't have to be silent on this one. You got a self-control problem. He said, then when that's happening, stop everything and say this. Lord, I'm having a hard time focusing and keeping my mind on the subject at hand. I want to get immersed in this psalm, Psalms 1 and 2, and give you my undivided attention. Undivided attention. Once I give it to God, I say, I just want to give you my undivided attention. It's in the word. It's in Psalms. I want to get immersed in this word. Now, I can be still again, and he's going to do it for me. When you really put it together, it's really kind of simple. And then his last one that he gave me, and I said, Lord, you gave me 5 items, and I don't know why, but submission. Woo! I said, that's it right there. A lot of people going to have that problem. I said, I thought I had a self-control problem. But when it comes to meditating, James 4:10 speaks on humbling yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. It says, and then I was reading some things, and it says rebellion is the opposite of submission. So if you're not submitting, you're doing what? You're rebelling. If we are to hear from him adequately, our minds and hearts must be totally surrendered to him. That's what he was meaning when he said submission, Archie. We can't hear from him if our minds and hearts aren't totally surrendered to him. If we are rebellious in our hearts and insist on having our own ways, guess what? We will not meditate. It will not happen. Those two don't go together. That's like water and oil. You can't be rebellious and want everything your way. I'm going to go do this first, do that first, then later on, Lord, I'm going to come back and meditate. It ain't going to happen. You're just playing with yourself and playing with God. And so I said, Lord, thank you for that. I receive all that. I said, but, okay, so since these are key elements that must happen in order for you to meditate, and you're showing me how meditation single-handedly can take you through your anointing in every shape, fashion, form that God wants you to do. I said, well, then there's some rewards to come with spending time with God alone and meditating. And one of them is, of course, being able to walk in that anointing rightfully. I said, that's what I really wanted from you, Lord. But he gave me some, he said, that, but that ain't all. You need to tell him it's more rewards than just the anointing. I set you up, Archie, to talk about anointing, but I really wanted you to share with them the power of meditation. I said, okay. So here we go. Some of the rewards. It was a bunch of them. I could have kept going. But I said, it's 3:45. And I think they're going to get the picture when I give them these, Lord. Is that okay, Lord? He said, yes. I said, so things that you worry or things that we worry about will lose their grip. So worry just fall off of you. It's grip. You know worry is gripped on you, right? The worries of other people, problem, family, things, it loses grip. It says things that weaken us, God turns to a strength, right, Pastor? That's that pruning. That's them branches, right? Hey. We ain't weak no more in the Lord. We're strong. It says our viewpoint of others and ourselves changed because we now see them from God's viewpoint. Amen. Oh, Lord, I like that reward because I practiced that one, and I thank God for giving me the ability to do that. That's really being patient with people. And it says even our enemies change because we see them from God's viewpoint. That's awesome. So no longer are you doing the same thing, you know, and I can say this, I have neighbors who just walk past you and don't speak. But you know the most powerful thing you can do is just keep speaking. Hi, hello, how you doing?
Amen.
And they be, the devil just mad when you do that.
Amen.
And you driving around with a license plate on your car that say favor.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you can't speak to nobody. You know the man I was ministering to this morning? That's what he was talking about to me. He said, I said, so we're going to pray over our block, sir, because there's a stronghold on some people. And I said, that's why I need you in church. I told him. I said, because we're going to deliver this block from this little curse. It could be from generations ago. And it just kept passing down on this block. I said, who does that? We're supposed to love our neighbors and know our neighbors. You can't speak and you living right next door to me. What's wrong with you? But I still love you. I'm going to love you even more now because I got to kill that thing. And so in Psalms 36:9, David declared, in your light, we see light. And so when we looking at things from God's viewpoint, we see nothing but light. And then the Lord said, another reward is peace. John 14:27, it says, read that, Arch. It says, my peace I give to you. I just don't give it to you, though. I give it to you when you spend time alone with God. And I like that because Pastor really has shown me how you have to really understand what they're saying. Some people would read that and just say, well, I got peace. No, you ain't going to just get peace. You got to do some things to get peace. And what the Lord showed me is one of the things you have to do is spend time alone and meditate. Now you got peace. It ain't going to happen if you're not doing that. Having a positive attitude. As God substitutes peace for pressure and positive attitudes replace negative attitudes. You got to have a positive attitude. Then the Lord shared with me something that I really, really believe in because I try to make sure that I'm personally intimate with him. We sit before the Lord. It's like the experience we had when we met that special girl or that special guy. And you talked, you shared the desires of your heart with each other. And down the road, you realize that you can live with each other forever. And that's how God see it, though. Now, down the road, I'm seeing I can live with you forever. Because I done shared a lot with you, Lord. So thank you for my wife, but thank you for you. Because now, down the road, I'm like, Lord, I got to get this now. Throughout, Holy Spirit God lives intimately in each one of us. Amen, saints. He lives intimately. He wants us to be intimate with him. He's selfish. He wants that. Got to give him that. But you got to do what? To do that. Meditate. All these things go by. I said, you just give me a single word, Lord, and all of that falls up under it. So when I speak the word meditate from now on, I'm going to have a profound new understanding of what it really can get for me and my family and my house. That covered almost everything. I can't think of much more. And then he gave me purification. He said, God's want to cleanse us so that we might be filled with his peace and joy. This is when either we run away or develop our relationship with him. Want to know why we run away? We run away because things are becoming exposed when he's doing this in us. When we are willing to sit before him and expose our hearts so he can prune these things from our life. Amen. Whatever's not clean, he's going to prune it, right? Amen. Then our strengths can prevail. Well, if we in rebellion of that, guess what? We're going to run away. Run away. Because that's a problem for most people to just say, I messed up. Lord, help me. I did a lot of people wrong. I done stole their money. I done did this. And I done made it all right, Lord. And that's back to what Pastor was speaking on. That's why I said this just ties together with sin and confessing and walking in light. You can't do none of that either without meditating. Because that's how you're going to get all your answers. Thank you, Jesus. So, I said, Lord, thank you for that. And I think with that, we are ready to grab the concept of meditation. Do it daily so we can experience God's love and flourish in our spiritual anointing. I think that's a very important thing because other people can mess your anointing up. But really, can they? I had to rethink that because if I'm meditating, they really can't. I can mess it up. Because if I'm not doing those things that God has just shared with me to share with the church, then it's really not them. That's like Pastor was speaking on that the devil didn't put that bottle of beer or that drink or that weed or whatever in your hand. You did it. You know? And this really has the same, gives me the same understanding that all God requires of us is to hear his word and to humble ourselves and submit to this. And I really, really thought about it because even Pastor Price, when he spoke on blessings and he helped me a lot with praying. But I said, even in my praying, am I actually meditating? Nope. I'm praying. And then I'm walking away. That's not meditation. And so the Lord really wanted me to speak on this today, church, because he wants y'all to know that it's so, so important to your spiritual anointing that you meditate. You could be anointed. People could tell you you're anointed. That's great. But if you really want to see what he means when he says that he has anointed you, meditate and wait on him. And amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor because I think that's what God had for me.
Amen.
And I just love God's word. It's a walk. It's a teaching. It's a learning. And I thank him for showing me the power of one word, you know. We know Jesus is power, but when we talk about meditating, we can't even hear from him if we're not doing that. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.